presented by the Esports Research Network and the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, Sweden.
Okay, welcome to the last eSport Research Report of 2020. I'm Brian McCauley here in the Media Management and Transformation Center in Jönköping, Sweden, the city of DreamHack.
Hi, everybody. I'm Steph Orm at Emmanuel College in Boston in the United States. Today, our guest is Ismail Pedraza Ramirez, an eSports performance coach and PhD student at the University of Cologne. Welcome to the show, Ismail. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Steph. Thanks, Brian, for the invitation. Yeah, so I am from Colombia, by the way. At the moment, I'm doing my PhD at the German Esprit University in Cologne, working in the field of cognition, applied to esports and how we can better understand esports as a competitive environment from different positions. So I guess like we will go in detail on what my research is about, but then at the same time, I'm working in the applied field. So I'm this type of research practitioner at the moment. So I'm very, very fortunate to be able to do both.
I think that's really cool. I'd love to be that more than I am. I mean, I play CSGO, but you know. So our first question as always is, what is your definition of esports from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it is. It depends, right? One of my first publications in esports is about everything what we can put together in a systematic review, and part of it was about the definition of esports when I was looking into how esports is defined in different other disciplines. So I come across with not really understanding their grasping, or we're grasping a little bit of everything. So we define esports in our first work for my PhD as the casual and organized activity of playing video games, but there is a sense of a professional environment. There is a rank system. There are some rules, and there is as well like this fairness about. This fairness that we found in traditional sports. And of course, like we decided in terms of trying to be very specific, what is esports and where can we play esports? So there are different systems that we can use, right? But then another specific part of my definition of esports is like this rank system is used and regulated by leagues. And then at the same time is providing players like mastery. They are able to master expertise at the motor, at the fine motor movement, on fine motor coordination, and at the same time there is a sense of community around esports. So as you can tell, like I was trying to very define it in a way that we can put video games on one side and the competitive scene in the other side, just because this idea of where we are researching about was very important to me from the very beginning of my PhD.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense to divide them that way, right? So to you, it sounds like the distinction between regular video gameplay and esports is the structure, is the competition aspect of it, right? And the ranking system and so on and so forth.
Yeah, exactly. I think like something that differs from video games, it is about the leagues, right? The structure, the rankings, the officiates that is running these esports kind of competitions. When I'm coming across with a specific research on video games or competitive video games, we come across like this combination of researching, for example, I don't know, The Sims or Mario Bros or Mario Kart or these more action games in this direction with League of Legends or CSGO. So for me, that's already an issue because we are not really differentiating the community level, if there are any rank system, if there is a sense that we can say that the competition is fair and not random fully, right?
All right, so Ismail, your area of study then is psychology. Were you in a psychology program?
Yes, so it is. I'm part of the Department of Performance Psychology at the Institute of Psychology. So, Yes. So my background is in sports science, but I finished two master's degree in sports psychology.
Two?
Yeah. So two first one was in Jyväskylä, actually, in Scandinavian country. In Jyväskylä in Finland, on sports and exercise psychology. And the second one was in Leipzig, here in Germany, in diagnostics and intervention.
Very cool.
I mean, wow. I mean, I have two master's degrees, one in commerce and one in communications, but it was a whole sort of visa thing in Australia. I didn't want to do two.
Well, y'all are making me look like, I don't know, a bum over here.
But you know, I'm a bummer. I'm a bummer for sure. But it's not about the titles, but it's more about like, okay, how we can actually have some impact, right, in society and try to develop the expertise that we are getting. So that's where I am at the moment. Yeah.
So then how are you using these multiple degrees that you've accrued in psychology and applying that to the realm of esports? Tell us, like, what is esports psychology all about?
Yeah. Well, I come from traditional sports, so I don't come from esports or video gaming. So I, like I said before, I studied sports science back home in Colombia. And then I was very interested in the psychology of sports. And somehow I got into esports in 2017. And then in this at the university in the German Sport University, I got the opportunity to be in the Performance Psychology Institute, which is basically an umbrella, right? Like performance is an umbrella of psychology. So we have all about emotion, cognition, action, perception in terms of human behavior, right? So I try to integrate all this knowledge in terms of how we see psychology and what is the competitive part of esports. So this is what we are at in like my specific, like, because what I'm saying is a huge umbrella of what esports psychology is. So I'm focusing on basically decision making. I'm trying to understand these decision making processes at the performance level in esports. So as my first paper was a systematic review, trying to summarize the psychological characteristics of cognitive performance and game performance, basically, and trying to see how is this associated to psychology, to the psychological content of performance. And then we try to get to understand how are the cognitive processes of esports players. So we go at the different levels of cognition in terms of memory, attention, high order functions like decision making or planning or creativity, and then how this takes a role or an influence in the behavior of the esports players, and at the end, like, what, how this influenced the outcome, which we go into the game performance, which is more about winning, losing, the rank system, or where are they placed in the ranks. So it is a huge umbrella. It is a huge view in terms of esports performance, if we can call it like this. But for sure, esports psychology is still not a protected title or a title that we can say like, it is like this, but it is just starting to integrate this and trying to understand how is this interplay of the psychological aspects of performance in esports.
Yeah, because I'm 3 months into my little CSGO quest, and the amount of psychology that I'm trying to apply to myself is pardon the pun, crazy. So I have a friend from Slovakia. And he's always kind of bitching about stuff when something happens, like, oh, he was wall hacking, or I can't believe that happened, into the microphone, right? And just looking at sort of positive psychology, what sort of impact does a moment like that have on teammates who are playing a game and someone goes, oh my God, I got killed? What do you do?
Yeah, no, like, definitely we go here into the social, on the social psychology side, or more at the level of the influence of your behavior to the behavior of your teammate. And then it goes into the performance side, which is just winning. And then, like, this term that I got into when I got into esports, I didn't understand. So everyone is tilted, right? You get your teammate is tilted, you are tilted. So what do we do? So let's just get angry at each other. So definitely this is an aspect, and this is something that I'm trying to remember if I found a paper on that in my review, but it is more about like the social influence into the psychology of the player. So for that, if we kind of understand why is this happening, why the behavior of your teammate just raging affects you instead of just you being in your own bubble and not getting affected by it. So why is this happening? And how we can let's say fix it, or how we can change it. And for sure, what if we go into the apply fee, it would be more like, okay, let's try to help your teammate to understand why this is important to change, how his behavior is influencing the behavior of your teammate. And then of course, if we have an esports that is an individual esports, it doesn't matter, right? It is you and yourself and that's it. But in this case, it's a team esport. So Patrick
should behave. He should quit it, right? Because I'm going to send him the link to this podcast. This is what I'm doing right now. This is how far I'm taking this, because I really like the guy, but he's annoying me with this. So Patrick, you've heard it now from someone studying esports psychology. You have to behave and stop complaining. They're not all wall hacking.
But right. Your influence as well is very important in this process of change, right? So that is a word
from both. 15-0 down. Dude, 15-0 down. I'm telling my team we can do it. I know we can't, but I don't stop.
So maybe you should focus more about like what is the actual problem, because maybe it's not the behavior, but like towards yourself or the emotional level, but maybe it's just the play itself, right? Like maybe there is something is not really happening, maybe at the cognitive level.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying Patrick is missing cognitive function of some level? Is that sorry, I deliberately misinterpreted that.
Patrick, if you're listening, we're so sorry.
What I'm saying is that the poor Patrick maybe could improve a little bit more into the in-game performance through understanding his own cognition.
I will absolutely say he's really good. He's the best shotgun player I've ever seen. So I'm going to put that compliment in there.
Nice. Well put.
Ismail, what would be some other specific examples of thinking about players and their psychology, right? I think the tilting thing is like such a great example, but like, what are some of the other things that in your own work or in this systematic review, which for those who maybe aren't familiar with it, it's basically like a really comprehensive literature review, right? It's looking at all of the papers that a bunch of different scholars have done on a topic and kind of saying, here's what the research says about this, right? So having read all of this, what are some other examples maybe that we can give listeners?
Yeah, I think like I feel like another example, like if we go into the cognitive performance, so in terms of tilting, it will be more like at the inhibitory control system, like how people can regulate their own emotions. Then maybe more into, and this could be applicable for any esports, right? Because something that we did as well in the review was trying to understand if there is any difference between esports. In terms of cognition. So for example, for games like Tetris, which I consider an esports just because there is a league, let's say, or there is a specific ranking system, there is some refereeing behind. For this type of game, maybe in terms of, I mean, like what we found in some of the papers was that working memory, it's more important in this sort of games than maybe in other games, right? Or if we go more into games like League of Legends or Counter-Strike, so decision making it's at the highest level. So maybe there are some cognitive functions that are more important for one game than for the other game. So in League of Legends, we have the example that that we highlighted in the review is that maybe cognitive flexibility is very highly regarded in League of Legends just because the game changes so much all the time. Every 2 weeks, there is a new patch, so players need to have the capacity to adapt to these new changes instantly, right? So they need to adapt very fast, and they need to perform at the best, even though there is a new game. Maybe it's not so for Counter-Strike, right? Maybe for Counter-Strike, cognitive functions like inhibitory control, which means regulate themselves, is more important, right? And not only for not tilting, but maybe for knowing when to shoot, when not to shoot. So I guess like these sort of examples are important at the cognitive level, and that's why it's important to differentiate between video games and esports, to have a more clear idea of what we are trying to find out in during these investigations, and maybe at the psychological level. So we're talking about the social and the relationship part of these competitive esports, and it's more the influence of, for example, your teammates, right? The influence in terms of how do you behave in a team. So I think that there is a bunch of different areas of the psychology and the cognitive level that it makes us think that psychology has a high impact in the development and understanding of esports as a whole, not only at the competitive level, but as well at the amateur level, and this like the developmental aspect of esports.
I've got a couple of quick questions. The first one is, do you think there's a lot of value in understanding psychology in esports and applying it to traditional sports? Because I know you've come the other way, right? You've come from sports to esports. How about going the reverse way? Is there value in that? Is there something we can learn from that?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's really interesting, definitely. I think more at the level of, I would say we are starting to understand probably the influence of video games, right? In terms of video games can be used as a cognitive enhancement tool, right? So it is not so as like from traditional sports, we cannot have that applicable. Like, for example, yes, exercise is really important, and it has a high impact in esports. And this is something that we're doing at the Apply field, trying to get them to understand why movement is important for them and how can improve their cognition and their well-being. But then from the other side, it's like traditional sport athletes could maybe get into these esports games to try to develop even more their cognitive abilities, just because playing League of Legends, Counter-Strike are so fast-paced games that there is something there that they can help them maybe to be applied to their own professional sporting careers. Something else that I think it will be important to mention is more at the cultural level, that we are trying to understand if it is something that can be transferable or in the way of if you consider the professional esports teams, at least in League of Legends, which is more my expertise or my field, you have this bunch of young individuals, 5 people, sometimes 7, 8, if you can't consider the coaches, they come from different backgrounds. They are exposed very early to huge, you know, they are in the public eye. They are basically rich as well, if we can compare with the high leagues. We don't really have this much at that age in traditional sports. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is something that we can start developing in terms of platforms or structures or a way to help to understand or develop our traditional sport athletes in different ways by learning by esports. But of course, this is just pure speculation from more like the cultural and the life skills development. But I think we're still lots of to learn and see how we can actually transfer maybe from esports to traditional sports knowledge and development.
Which actually leads me to the second question is, what's going to happen with your PhD from here? What's the plan? I mean, like, just so maybe students who want to do a thesis or people interested in doing research themselves, like as you've started, you have the basis. What are you actually going to do?
Yeah, I mean, well, I need to finish my PhD by, you know, the normal way, publishing 3 papers. So at the moment, I'm trying to get more in depth into decision making. We're working into understanding decision making from a holistic perspective, which means looking into what cognitive science tells us about decision making, which is based on a so-called simple heuristics or rule of thumb, which is basically when you are making a decision, you are generating options, then you stop generating, and then you select an option. Usually in professional athletes, they select the first option that they generated. So this is what I'm trying to find out in esports, if this is the case. But then I'm adding the knowledge that we have in movement science by trying to understand the how these players make decisions. And this is like the combination of motor heuristics. So we have the what and we have the how. The how will be more about like keyboard and mouse behavior, basically. So this is the my experimental study that I'm doing right now. And this is, of course, an opportunity as well for me to transfer this knowledge into potential training tools for esports players or for League of Legends players, especially because we don't really have much tools in League of Legends. So this is where I'm taking my PhD in terms of decision making, starting to develop an understanding in terms of what, how, and including like psychophysiological markers and including eye tracking devices, because it is really a opportunity for us to try to investigate in an ecological manner.
Cool.
That's super exciting. I can't wait to read about that, actually.
I know, I'm actually interested as well.
I love the eye tracking stuff. Is fascinating to me. I've watched so many videos of watching streamers and pro players use the eye tracking software, and just to see the way that they process, you know, what's happening in real time, and it's, you know, at this like almost inhuman speed, and it's like, oh, that's why they're so much better than I am, because I just lack that sort of quick response, right?
Yeah, definitely. We can get so much information from them, like from these experts, to try and to understand human behavior as a whole. And maybe this is what we were talking before, and Brian's question from before, like maybe from them we can better understand expertise in at different degrees, and more including society, like a military or a surgery experts, you know, like surgeons who mm-hmm. are people who are in high stress environments, and as well their fine motor skills are paramount. So and eye tracking techniques are really good for it.
Super cool. So Ismail, in your paper, you talk about these 10 future challenges that are being faced by esports psychology. So what are those, or maybe pick a couple of key ones in your mind, you know, and what should researchers in psychology and esports kind of be working towards, or what are like the big questions we should be trying to answer?
Yeah, I think this is interesting, because definitely I would like to go into every single, you know, opportunity of researching and exploring more esports psychology. And I think there is so much that you can get into. But as you know, we have to be selective. I think one of the important challenges, and I think I have them here in front of me. I think one of the important challenges or aspects to consider, it is about how we are researching esports, because I still think that we need to start going away from the idea of researching esports as a category or as a genre of video games or action video games. And I say this because I see lots of research in terms of we are researching esports, and then the population or the target group are action video games kind of people or players, right? But then I think we need to start separating, because as we have seen it before, there is a completely different environment. We are not researching international sports like basketball and soccer at the same time, right? In one study, trying to understand specific and very specific aspects of this nature of these sports. So I think the challenge that I'm seeing here is implementing rigorous methodological designs by considering these aspects of what is esport, what is video games, how we are selecting it, how we are researching in it, to try to really start getting a grasp of the psychology of esports. I think this is one. Like, of course, there are so many others in terms of implementing these psychophysiological tools, because esports is a place that you can actually implement so many different tools without really having artifacts or affect too much the validity or reliability of these tools. And then there is so much applicability for the applied field, like helping to develop the needs of coaches and how we can implement structures of performance or of training training structures, and as well trying to understand what are those performance indicators, which at the moment we are relying on the ones that the game tell us, that the game mm-hmm. developers give us, and sometimes they are not as accurate as we would like them to be. So we need to try to understand more in these areas.
Okay, that's brilliant. I actually can't wait to use that paper on my own work. Well, Ismail, we're out of time now. Thank you so much for being here today. Anyone who wants more information on what Ismail's doing, all the links are below the podcast in whatever format you're consuming it. So Ismail, thank you very much and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you Bye-bye. So much. Bye-bye.